It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
And that's why we have to both act like we're high for this whole episode, even though we're not. Like,
I'll have to follow your lead then.
It's the law.
Okay.
Because it's 420.
I'll do my best.
I don't know what it is, but this year 420 pisses me off.
Why?
It never has before. Because I think it's the dumbest thing that actually, as I so eloquently tweeted after I said it to Coffee and she liked it, is if you need a special day of the year for your drug of choice, you're doing drugs wrong.
I'm not even sure I understand the origin of that.
Nobody does. In fact, it's been in debate for 5 decades, according to the AV Club.
5 decades?
That's what they say. Theories vary from it being the police code for possession of marijuana in some district of the police, to that being a time of day where a certain group of people would always smoke weed, to that being a special code, to, you know, who knows.
Well, I did know it's been around for quite a while, and the only thing that ever annoys me about it is how young people think it's so clever and that almost like they invented it.
But that's also the
that's
thing.
It's kind of annoying for some reason.
For some reason.
I don't know why it's annoying, but it is.
It reminds me of The Shocker. Are you familiar with The Shocker?
No.
It is this symbol that you will see kids doing.
Okay.
And it comes with an absolutely filthy little rhyme to go with it.
Okay.
I'm going to say it now. Cover your ears, children, because it's dumb and gross. It's supposed to be 2 in the pink, 1 in the stink.
Oh, I see.
See, and it's a shocker because it's shocking. And I find this so annoying. I mean, obviously, it's incredibly childish and puerile.
Yeah.
But I'm also like, but they never, like, because that's used as, like, a symbol. Like, people, if you watch people at Spring Break or whatever, woo! And it's a thing. And I'm like, what is, are you saying you want that right now? Or that's a thing you do? And especially if it's a dude, because it's frequently a dude, I'm like, you don't have all the necessary hardware.
I don't know.
So I'm just like, what? I don't know. It's a little bit like if all the drunk kids at Spring Break would scream Free Mandela, but like just as like their party call. I'm like, those are words. It does mean something, but not only does it not mean what you're using for, its actual meaning is pointless at this point.
Yeah.
See, it's the same thing. In Mandela's case, it's because he's already free and then dead. In the case of The Shocker, it's because, come on.
Yeah,
what the
right,
fuck, people?
Right, right.
Get away from that.
Yeah, the 420 is very similar. It's
exactly.
Like, okay, everybody knows what it is. You're not being clever.
It's not the day for weed. It's the day for weed-based jokes. Well, here's the big thing. I guarantee you, I would stake any sum of money on this, that nobody who actually indulges in marijuana on 420 doesn't also do it at least one other day of the year. Like, there's nobody out there that's like, 420 is the day.
Yeah, but does anybody really care about it except for, like, high school kids who think they're cute for getting by with something?
TV shows plan programming based on this.
Oh, okay, well.
I've seen multiple channels that have done, here's our 420 extravaganza for the day.
Wow, that's weird.
Although this year I haven't seen that. I don't know if I'm just not paying attention or what, but I don't know what it is. This year just pissed me off. Never have cared before, but this year it's my rage. hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world that's mad about 420. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that's probably
are, yeah.
Or at least that's actively bitching about it. Because why would you? Mm. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 319.
Mm-hmm. And here comes Ezzy. What's up, little girl? All right, for those of you just joining us, this is not a pot-based podcast or anything. I'm sure those are out there.
Oh,
this
yeah.
This is not it.
I'm sure there are.
In fact, there's a fairly successful YouTube show based on it, I think. But anyway, there's probably several successful YouTube shows. Here's how the show works. We have a hat. It's magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Folks like yourselves, cool people, write into that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little notes, topics, questions, comments, things like that. We, its erstwhile servants, draw those. Oh, sorry. We missed some things in between here. I totally do it on autopilot now, and so just one thing slips in my brain, and then... All right. Anyway, the hat magically, on its own, transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. We, its erstwhile servants, draw those cards out at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour, that's the whole show. I feel like that kid who's like, yes, there's only 1 minute left in my brain. Yes. It was Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. They actually had a commercial. I saw a TV commercial for something that was using those guys.
Really?
Yeah, because I recognize their voices now. So, so how's your week been?
Well, it was fine. We, you know, Easter happened, so.
Yeah. We barely know. The only reason I noticed is because we were going out to dinner with the friends, and they were like, "Is the place open?" And I was like, "Well, I'm assuming." And they're like, "Cause the Wendy's down the road is closed for Easter."
Really?
And I was like, weird. And so sure enough, we were going to go to Fuzzy's Taco Shop because new place in town, kind of like it, wanted to take them there. It was closed. So then we went to Casa Azul, which is also really nice.
We went.
This is the first year I'm noticing this. I don't remember. Maybe I'm just not, I don't go out on Easter. But this is the first time I'm noticing, like, lots of places, including things like fast food places, closing for Easter. But I talked to my boss, who worked in Burger King growing up, and she's like, no, those were the 2 days we all knew we had off, Christmas and Easter.
Huh.
But then again, I worked in a restaurant with a Sunday brunch, so for me, Easter was the second busiest day of the year after Mother's Day.
Yeah, I didn't realize any place really closed for Easter.
Yeah, but apparently tons of them do.
We went to Des Moines. We went to my wife's family's place, and we've never done that before.
I was going to say, I genuinely did not know your wife had family in Des Moines.
Yes.
I kind of know she has family, yeah. I think, in Clear Lake, but that's about it.
Well, yeah, Des Moines, because... And it looks like... when I was a kid, we did Easter. I've probably said this before. We did Easter all the time. We'd spend all day at church.
More than once a year?
More than one service on Easter Sunday.
You were like, we did Easter all the time. Like, June.
Every year, you know what
October.
I mean. But, like, there'd be, you know, there'd be four or five services for Easter, and we would be at them all, and sometimes in them all, doing something.
Was it because you got a little toy and you wanted to collect all the toys?
No, I was a vocalist, and sometimes I was a speaker. You know, like, one of the services might be done by the youth group or whatever, and so I would do the sermon for that one or some such thing.
Were you ever a bunny wabbit?
No.
Oh, I guess you probably don't have those in church so much.
And, you know, Mom always had Easter baskets and everything. It was a really big deal. But then, you know, I think when college started... And for Christmas, there's winter break, so you're home, so you have Christmas. Yeah. But there's not a break going on for where an Easter happens.
The problem is it doesn't hold still.
Yeah, it moves around.
It's based off of the lunar calendar. Yeah.
So
we had to look it up 1 year when I worked at the newspaper. And we were like, that's a weird thing for a Christian holiday to follow a lunar calendar.
Yeah. So we, you know, because you didn't have a natural, like, interim break or whatever for college, you just kind of got out of the habit. I mean, it's just a weekend. Go home for that weekend, but sometimes you wouldn't do it. So I don't think I've really celebrated Easter with any family for years. But this year, Well, I think that my wife's mom is selling her house.
Okay.
And this is the house that most of the kids grew up in.
So one last big
hurdle. Yeah, sort of thing. Exactly.
Kind of in my family, I don't know if this is true for you. A lot of holidays growing up in my family were just generic excuses for the family to get together.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot. I mean, obviously, Thanksgiving, there was turkey. And Christmas, there were presents. And for birthdays, there were presents for the birthday people.
Mm-hmm.
But outside of that, every holiday basically was the same.
Yeah, you just get together, or maybe you have a cookout if it's in the summertime, or you have
And frequently it's sort of potlucky, and we had a little bit of debate sometimes over whose house it was
at.
Yeah,
sure.
But it was very seldom at ours, because ours was the one that was an hour south of Portland, everybody else was in Portland.
Mm.
And Easter was just one of those. When I woke up in the morning, there was always an Easter basket outside of my door from the Easter Bunny.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, it was a candy-focused holiday. There were not many presents. As I got older, there would sometimes be a stuffed animal or something.
Sure, sure.
Usually, it was very candy-focused. And then, we'd end up going to see the relatives. And yeah. That was it. That was Easter for me. I'm not even sure how old I was when I knew what Easter was about. Because, of course, I wasn't raised in any sort of religion.
Yeah, I mean, Easter was a big church day for us, but so was Christmas, and we went to church every Sunday anyway, so it was a long time before. I mean, even though for Easter, I mean, our church only had, like, four or five services
mm-hmm.
on Easter, not even on Christmas, only on Easter did they have multiple services like that. Otherwise, they only had one, sometimes two, but I was probably in high school before I realized, oh, yeah, some people only go to church on Easter and Christmas. It just didn't occur to me that the reason we were having all those services was because there were people showing up who never come to church otherwise.
Yeah, Christmas and Easter.
Yeah, so I... But that was...
Samhain and Beltane?
I guess.
No, that's a real thing. That's absolutely a real thing.
So we... but yeah, that was a really big deal until I graduated high school and went to college, and then it wasn't a big deal anymore, mm-hmm. basically. But yeah, she's selling her house, so most of the family was able to...
met these people before?
Oh, I know them all, sure, okay. Sure. I just did... I've been to that house, but not when they were having a big family thing. Yeah, because, my wife and I have been together in one form or another for, like, 20 years, but they haven't gotten together.
For a while, he was a duck, and she was an old shepherd man.
They haven't gotten together at the house for, probably 15 years, And the first several years, if they were getting together, so was my family, so we just split up.
Yeah.
So that was really the first time I'd ever been there for something like that. But yeah, I'd met everybody before, and I'd been to other functions, not at that house. But those other things, certain people were missing,
Yeah.
Some of them live in Colorado, and maybe some of them made it, and some of them didn't. But yeah, so it was kind of a... But that's probably the last time we'll be doing something. And the house on the lake that my mother-in-law grew up in has been sold.
Okay.
And pretty soon it's going to be destroyed because it's kind of old and wiring and the plumbing.
Real estate's real prime, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And it would cost more to fix it than to just tear it down and build something new there. So that place is going to be gone. So a lot of the... places that my wife's familiar with up there, like, I mean, it's not likely we're going to go back there to visit because we don't have a place to stay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're not going to go up for the 4th and stay in a hotel. We went up in the 4th and stayed in the lake house.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a sad thing, kind of going away. But, things change. That's what happens.
Maybe you guys could move into one of those tiny houses on the back of a truck,
Maybe.
But
Easter.
Solving crimes.
That's really all that was going on with us. We tried to watch that, or I guess we're still watching it. Have you heard of that show, 13 Reasons Why or something? It's on Netflix.
Not even a little bit. Okay. No, tell me about this.
Oh, it's. I don't know what to say about it that won't get things away.
The prep. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I can't even tell you that.
Spoilery. All
right. Yeah.
Well, let's do this one. Is it a documentary series or a dramatic series?
It's dramatic, and it's kids in high school.
Okay.
And they're dealing with a tragedy. I'll just say right. that. But
things may not be as they appear.
Kind of stuff, yeah, a little bit. But I also don't, you know, the premise itself is a little bit surprising. I don't know if I'd say it's particularly original or clever, but it's a little bit surprising. It's a show that feels like. Did you ever play that game, Life is Strange?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. And then that's not a very good comparison for you.
It feels like that.
But it feels like that, but it's not really similar, except that the people in it are high school students.
There we go.
But there's lots of angst in the video game, and it's a similar kind of angst.
I see.
Not just that, but I didn't think Life is Strange was particularly well written or put together.
Mm-hmm. And you don't think this is either?
No.
All right.
But we're still watching it because. It's weird. There's a thread that runs through it that's interesting and gives you really interesting moments in spite of the acting being uneven and the writing being bad. So you're just like, oh, that was interesting.
I hate when that happens.
And then it goes away, and then it's like, oh,
I don't want to lose that. I have to put up with all the rest.
Yeah, it's that kind of thing. But I don't know if I would recommend it or not, but see, other people might get a totally different take on it, because, as you know, I can't really relate to this coming-of-age stuff.
Yeah, no.
You know, I watch this teenage stuff, and I don't...
You were born at 25.
Yeah, I don't get it at all, or I can even be a little annoyed by it. It's like, what is wrong with you? But there are moments where they do things that are pretty clever and pretty, I think, do a really good job of showing a particular, you know... a social problem that we're dealing with in the United States, especially today. But then it's gone because the writing gets really bad and the acting's not so good. But it's acclaimed, I think. Like, like it's kind of like Stranger Things. Remember how I wasn't so hot on that show? It's kind of like that.
You and I both. We're the only two people in the world.
It's kind of like that. I think other people are watching it and thinking it's amazing. So
I am. Enough people like Stranger Things that I'm sitting here going, maybe it's me. Maybe I will check out season two. I don't know. If Trish wants to, I may go for it.
Well, we like Millie Bobby Brown, so we'll just watch it for her. We thought she was great. We'd love to see her do more things than just look severe. And she was good at that, but...
I think that's most of what she'll do.
So we'll probably watch it. But no, it's called 13 Reasons Why, I think is what it's called. And my understanding is...
Apartment 23.
A lot of people are liking it. I'm lukewarm on it, but again, that could just be me. What about you? How's your week been?
Okay. Trish was gone for one night, so that was weird. And got back really late last night, actually. I beat Dragon Age.
Oh, okay.
I didn't do any of the DLC anymore.
Okay.
I didn't finish the one I was on. I didn't do that. I was like, I just need to end this. I ended up having no romance with anybody, which I'm okay with. I recently read up on what the DLC after you beat the game is, and it's really interesting. Like, explains a lot of things arcing back to the beginning of the series and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I had thought I remembered you guys had not played it. I would recommend it based on what I see.
I think we've played all the DLCs now.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Because, I just had the weird cliffhanger-y... from the Solus scene, and I was like, what? But it wasn't enough for me to actually play the game, so. So then I started a new game called Stories, Path of Destinies. Which is a very pretty game. It's a sort of cel-shaded-y thing where you're playing a swashbuckling fox in a world where, like, everybody's animals, mostly foxes, cats, rabbits, and toads for some reason. And you are helping out the rebellion against this tyrannical emperor. And you make decisions. There's multiple chapters, and at the end of each chapter you get to make a decision. Are you going to go this way or go this way? Kind of thing. Like, oh, are you going to go save your friend, or are you going to go try and find this cool thing or whatever? And then that determines where the next chapter is. And then around chapter 5 something happens and you die.
Oh.
And then you start over.
Oh.
But now you've learned things.
Okay.
And so, yeah, you have to go through at least 5 times to beat it. But you can keep playing after that, and there are many, many options. I mean, basically, it's combinatorics. Like, you know, whatever branch, however many decisions there are possible, there's that many combinations of endings. So I beat it, like, the next day. Oh. It's very short. It was fun, though.
Yeah.
And then I debated for a while. Because I forgot, Dragon Age fundamentally is a very dark series. And by the end, it felt very bleak and depressing.
Yeah, really. It really did.
And that's the thing, because you win at the end of each of these games. I mean, it's never a game where, and you were slaughtered the end. It's always success, but it always still feels like, Jesus. really? And sure enough, when the next game turns out something you did in the last game ruined the planet or some shit every time.
Yeah.
But so I was like, I want to do something brighter, and that game was brighter. I do recommend that game that way. It reminds me a little bit of Bastion, but it's a little more lighthearted, and I highly recommend Bastion. But I was gonna do Shadow of Mordor next, and I'm like, that's dark.
Yeah.
By definition. I mean, it's fucking called Shadow of Mordor. I mean, what the hell? And I was like, oh, maybe I'll do Final Fantasy 15. Or I never played the third Infamous, and I like the Infamous games pretty well. So maybe I'm going to do that. And then at one point, I was just like, fuck it, I'm doing Shadow of Mordor. So I bought it, installed it, started playing it yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
It has a very steep learning curve.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of the gameplay is, especially in terms of combat and stuff, is very similar to Assassin's Creed.
Okay.
And the opening tutorial is very much like that, you know? You're practice fighting with somebody, and you learn, you know, hit square to attack, and hit triangle to deflect. Okay. Well, here's some other shit you do. You can reforge swords. Not really sure what that does. Oh, you can grab people and interrogate them by sucking their mind out. But you can also suck the energy out of them, which is a different thing. Also, you have a bow. I'm not sure where from. And you have arrows, but only so many. And you have to draw the bat. Now you have focus, which is a different thing that gives you all these weird ghost powers in addition to the combat stuff. And also, you'll learn new combat finisher moves and all that. Okay, go, play. Like, they're like, here's a bunch of super original shit we came up with that we're going to tell you exists, but not really how to do it. Have fun.
What kind of person are you? Are you some kind of wizard
you
or something?
You are sort of two people stuck together.
Oh.
So, Lord of the Rings here. All right. As we all know from Lord of the Rings, long ago, the end of the Second Age, or maybe the beginning of the Second Age, I don't remember. An alliance of humans, of men and elves, went and fought against Sauron and all of his fucking armies. And they cut off his goddamn fingers, and so the ring came off, and that was a big deal, and it was gone. And everybody's like, shit, that was bad. He's gone. Maybe let's build a wall here to, in case anything else comes out of Mordor, because Mordor's kind of fucked up.
And make the orcs pay for it.
Yeah, and make the Nicely done. Nicely done. So the Gondor built a wall, and they sent their rangers to guard it for like 2,500 years.
Okay.
Which is like a... So now we're a few hundred years before Lord of the Rings starts, I think.
Okay.
And nobody remembers who the fuck Sauron is anymore or anything like that. But he comes back to Mordor, and so shit starts getting spooky again. And you're a ranger who has a fairly involved backstory that absolutely does not matter at this point.
I thought rangers were just long-lived, not particularly have any special powers.
No. They don't.
Okay.
He's just a ranger, and I don't even know he's that long-lived. He's just a dude with sword and shit.
Okay.
And the orcs attack, and it's some bad shit going down, and they kidnap your wife and child, because you had those there also.
Oh, wow.
And you were kind of hiding from the... Like I said, enormous backstory doesn't matter. But the three of you, instead of just being killed by the orcs, are used in a weird ritual curse thing that brings back the spirit of one of the elf kings who had a ring of power.
Mm-hmm.
And he's now tied to your body, and you can't die, and he can't leave, and you're both stuck. You can't leave Mordor until you break this curse, which you have to find the dude who did it, who happens to be the Black Hand of Sauron. So that's going to take a while.
Why did he do that?
Don't know yet.
Oh.
It seems weird. At first, just based on the positioning, I'm like, I feel like maybe he missed.
Like he was trying
to do for him, yeah. But I don't know. But maybe there's another, and that's the thing. Maybe the hideously huge backstory will matter eventually. But at this point, I don't know. But yeah, so I am both just a ranger dude and an elvish king from thousands of years ago with a ring of power. So I can do a lot of cool
stuff. And the bad guy's called what?
The Hand of Sauron. The Black Hand of Sauron.
Is it a really little hand?
Well, according to the index, nobody knows who the fuck he is. And in fact, some think he maybe is Sauron.
Oh.
They don't know. But he's just dude in black cloak, shadow over his face, you know. He's gone. So yeah, I've got the wraith of a it's a wraith, an elven wraith. But he used to be a king with a ring of power, so.
Gotcha.
It's very bloody. But I'm getting better at it now. And the combat is pretty cool when you get better at it.
Mm.
And it is one of those games that eventually you get powerful enough that like it becomes really like easy in a lot of ways, I think. So I'm kind of looking forward to that. And it has that whole thing. I've had two orcs kill me and consequently get promoted because of it.
Oh.
But I've killed a few of the captains too, which is actually part of the way how these little dudes now are captains, because there were vacancies and stuff. Mm. But I've had a couple. Luckily, I haven't had any of the big powerhouses kill me, because you gain power. Like, they become stronger when they do that, and I'm like, oh, fuck, don't let these... I've got a friend, actually, Stu, on the show. He played it, and he's down to, like, the last really big guys, but they keep killing him and getting stronger, and so he can't kill them. So you have to watch out for that.
I see.
But that's fun. I think I'm going to enjoy that. I liked it enough that this is a sign. I played it this morning before work. I don't normally do that with video games, so that's a good sign. Mm. But yeah, very steep learning curve. I think I'm getting the hang of it now. I also saw a movie that I really have to talk about.
Okay.
Because it's... Oh, wait, before I talk about that.
Yeah?
I watched the first episode of the new Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Oh, with Felicia Day's in that,
yes,
right?
Yes, Felicia Day and Jonah Ray and Patton Oswalt. The opening, actually, also had Will Wheaton and Aaron Gray, but I think that was just for the opening.
Oh, okay.
You want to know how it was?
Yeah, how was it? Right. I figure you brought it up because you're going to tell me how it was.
I'm not sure. Here's the thing. They work really hard to try and make it like the old one. And I'm not saying that they're parodying the... Like, it's deliberately a sequel. And, like, they explain it. And it even has a through line that makes a good... I mean, it's just an excuse to do the same shit over again.
Mm-hmm.
But they have an explanation and it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels like they're just really trying to hold to the integrity of the original. Which is fine. If that's what you want. And I'm pretty sure most of us thought that was what we wanted.
Yeah.
But now I'm just like, did I really need more of the same? I don't know. I laughed while I watched it. I will probably watch more. But also, I watched it. And then, like, an hour later, I went and watched one of the older episodes and laughed a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
So, we'll have to see. I mean, it's fine. The one really disconcerting thing, for some reason, is... So, Jonah is the human. Jonah Ray. He's playing Jonah Heston in this version, for some reason. And his voice doesn't sound like the voices of the other guys from before. But I think I just know his voice because I listen to a lot of podcasts that he's on.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds normal to me. The dude who's voicing Crow does a pretty decent impression of the Trace Ballou Crow. Like, it's close enough that it's not disconcerting to me.
Mm.
The dude doing Servo sounds completely different and unfamiliar, and it just messes with my head. I can't cope with it. So that's disconcerting. Yeah, anyway, I saw a different movie.
Okay.
And I need to talk about it, because it's amazing.
Okay.
In a terrible, terrible way.
Oh,
It is one of the better So Bad It's Goods that I've seen in a while.
Okay.
But it has a backstory, because of course it does. Do you remember, most people I ask about this don't, a couple years ago, when they made a movie and actually released it in real Earth-like theaters all over, called Ouija?
Yes.
do you remember that it was actually modestly successful enough that they made a sequel that was actually a prequel called Luigi Origins?
Yes.
Did you know? I'm actually impressed and a little scared that you knew
I was wondering if you were going to ask how I even knew this.
That's a little weird.
Because...
I mean, I knew this, but...
Well, there's a reason. I won't get into the whole reason. Let's just say that anything Ouija is sort of on the radar of our house.
Me too, which is why I knew about them, but it, like...
Not really in a good way, but it's just...
No, I always find it hilarious. Yeah. Anytime you do a Ouija story, I think it's hilarious. But this was that whole bullshit, you know, PG-13 horror movie, and I was like, fuck that, I'm not doing that. And also, I don't go to the theaters to watch those.
I wrote a paper on Ouija boards once. Did you? Yeah, I forgot about that.
I find them hilarious. But what you may not know, although may, given the weird backstory, is that around the same time, possibly slightly before, so I don't want to claim it was copying, but there was another not released in the theaters movie called The Ouija Experiment that I watched and talked about on this podcast.
I think, I think I kind of recall
and
that.
It sucked.
Yeah, I think I remember
it
that.
Was basically filmed in one room. Of a house, of an apartment, probably.
I believe we did talk
and
about
it
that.
Was terrible. It was just awful. And I think, especially because, yeah, I recently saw sort of a summary of it, like a video summary of it. I'm trying to remember, there may have been like the ghost of a pedophile involved. What the hell? I don't even know. It is weird. But anyway, what you really may not know is that movie got a sequel for some reason.
Really?
And I have not watched it. I've known about it for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Because the reviews of people watching on Netflix, such as they are, basically say, I don't know how, but it's worse than the first one. And I was like, I don't know if I can cope with that. But then the other night, I'm looking for a horror movie to watch, and it pops up in the suggestion again, and I was like, fuck it, we've been doing this dance. It's time to make this happen.
I've been doing this dance.
And so I watched it. I believe technically it probably is worse than the first one.
Mm-hmm.
The production values are arguably a little bit better. But it's amazing. I highly recommend it to all of you. And you don't need to see the first one first for a variety of reasons. Hey, Trish, summer's here. Trish?
Yep, you too, enjoy.
Oi, Trish.
Oi.
Summer's here. Oh, no, then. She's gonna starve to death.
Smells like pizza.
Some of it's pizza. Well, actually, technically, it's calzone, I think. So I want to talk to you about this movie.
Okay.
It's called Ouija Resurrection.
Ooh.
And I feel like somebody wrote a horror movie script that had nothing to do with Ouija boards, and then they shoehorned it. They bought the rights or something for, you know, $1.50 and shoehorned it in here. The premise of the sequel to the Ouija experiment is that the Ouija experiment, the film, was so successful that they literally have a 2-day fan convention for it in an old theater.
Like you do.
And you do with a movie that actually has a follow-up.
In an old theater?
Well, it's a haunted theater. That's sort of part of the deal.
Yeah, like you do.
Like you do. By the way, I may spoil the shit out of Ouija Resurrection. That does not mean you should not see it. And also, don't worry about spoilers for this movie. Seriously, do not worry about it. Because the plot is not the interesting part. And so... four of the actors from the original movie play themselves, the actors, in this movie.
Oh.
Those
four that got so famous.
Yeah, the huge popular ones. They even talk about one's catchphrase and things like that. It's... Oh, there's just so much to unpack here. And yeah, so the theater's haunted, and people are going to stay the night in the special event, and they're going to try and scare them or whatever, but real shit happens. And here's the thing. This is, and we've talked before about how there's like seven plots to horror movies.
Mm-hmm.
This is a Hicks did incest and made a monster child that they chain up in the basement plot.
Mm-hmm. Very popular.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this movie is,
mm-hmm.
except in this version, they killed the monster inbred baby, but then using the Ouija board brought back its ghost, and then eventually, for no reason, it turned back into a living, breathing person chained up in the basement.
Mmm. Okay.
Like, seriously, yeah. Because, again, they made the one mistake you always make with Ouija boards. They always tell you the rules of Ouija boards in every Ouija board movie,
mm-hmm.
but there's only one rule that anybody ever breaks, specifically. Or at least, there's only one rule that ends up having consequences. You don't say goodbye. And then that's always bad, because then they just can come out. They did it twice in this movie, and one time they didn't even acknowledge it.
Mm.
So that was weird. It's got some racist bullshit in it, to the degree that the one black actress in the movie at one point yells at herself saying, "Stop being the black girl in a horror movie." There's also two girls who are useless as fuck, one of whom is shy and antisocial, and so consequently is psychic, of course, but nobody knows that, but we can tell. And this other one has a British accent. I say this because I know this, because somebody in the movie refers to her having a British accent. Otherwise, I would not be so sure. And especially when she gets excited, it sounds a little more New Jersey.
Okay.
So that's weird. But they talk about, there's a point where the two of them are running and freaking out and all this shit, and one of them suggests something, and the shy psychic one says, "No, that's what horror movie characters do. We should do what a smart person would do." By the way, I think she loses the argument and they end up doing the stupid thing anyway. But I find that impressive, because you don't say we should do what a smart person would do. You say we should be smart. It's like you don't say we should act like a brave person. No, we need to be brave. But it's a callback later, because when we're dealing with the final fiend and we're having quite a conversation with him while we've got him with a knife to his throat,
mm-hmm.
it ends with the British accent woman saying, "We're not dumb horror movie girls. We make smart decisions," and then slitting his throat and watching him die.
Mm.
Now, I'm not going to say that the quip before killing the villain is a new thing, but this one was just very slice of life, matter of fact. Like, they're just talking, and then she slits his throat and he bleeds out. Like, that's no smile, you son of a bitch, and then explosion. Like, it was just very weird. But none of this would be enough by itself. What really takes it to a new level, and is important to note when you're watching it, is you have to have the closed captions on. Because whoever the fuck did the closed captions does not know English. And it's amazing. Throughout the opening of the movie, when the monster incest child, if you want to say hybrid, is still a ghost,
mm-hmm.
you frequently get the useful closed caption direction, "ghost making sounds," with no punctuation here, of course, because it's closed captioning, which I just was obsessed with, because I'm like, so is that a ghost that makes noise? Or are these noises that create ghosts? Because that would be awesome. And it did not get any clearer or more comforting where later in the movie, for no reason at all, they switched to saying "monster doing noises." So I'm like, again, ambiguous, and also that's just unsettling.
All right, so why did you have the caption?
I frequently do. As I get older...
Oh, it might be hard to hear.
And I'm just lazy. And frequently, I want to know like exactly what the wording is. Mm-hmm. So we often watch things. It depends on what it is. If it's an actual comedy, you don't put on the captions,
because they'll give it away. Yeah.
But with most other stuff, fine. At one point in the movie, a character is mouthing words to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
and the caption says, "She only moves the mouth." Not even her mouth. She only moves the mouth. And then I think my highlight, although "She Only Moves the Mouth" is a good one, maybe the title of this episode, I'm not sure, is at one point there's a gun involved, and we see it, somebody being shot with it repeatedly, like you do the thing where you shoot until it runs out of bullets. Mm-hmm. And when it runs out of bullets, captions say, you know, click, 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 mm-hmm. or gun clicks empty, or something mm-hmm. like that. No, this one just said, "There are no more bullets." And I'm like, did you check? I get there's no more in the gun, but are you saying there's no more anywhere? Why are you saying that? I feel you are overstepping your bounds, hearing impaired closed captioning guy. She only moved her mouth. And seriously, I'm ghost making noises showed up like 8 times.
The thing I like about "She only moved her mouth" was like it's almost like telling the hard of hearing.
Too far, sweep. I was yelling at you. You didn't say nothing back.
Oh, I was watching
the
video.
Oh. It's that thing in the bottom. Well, and one of those is a salad, I suppose. It's also yours.
It's
don't forget your salad.
It's almost like the captions are saying to hard of hearing people, don't sweat it. She's just
moving. Yeah,
never mind. She's just moving.
I always love that. If you're a closed caption person, how do you decide when to type silence? Because they don't do it every time it's
that's
silent.
Right, that's right.
And so I'm like, you have to gauge of what significance is it that
dramatic
it's
significance, yeah.
What I really love is when they do it while they're still showing the film company logos. Like, good to know this one doesn't have a jingle. Thanks. She only moved them out. I just keep thinking back to the Moulin Rouge movie and John Leguizamo playing Toulouse-Lautrec, and he plays the sitar that can only speak the truth. And in his little song, he just said, "I only speak the truth. I only speak the truth." So I'm like, she only moved her mouth. She only moved her mouth. There are no more bullets. Stop asking.
No, see, that one seems like it's talking to the person who keeps pulling the trigger. Hey, dude.
Knock it off.
There are no more bullets. It's just going click, click, click.
Say,
what's the matter with you?
Said, there are no more bullets. Duh.
Like, that one was directed at the guy in
this
the
movie. This was, quote-unquote, British accent woman. So, maybe she didn't understand. You know, that seems fair. Yeah, I feel like "She Only Moved the Mouth" is probably going to be the time. So, yeah. Ouija Resurrection. It's on Netflix. Do yourself a favor. Just watch it. It's super dumb. Oh my god. It's amazing. Yeah. And yeah, there is a fascinating you know the standard. We're a good, God-fearing town, and we, A, don't like outsiders, and B, don't like the devil, and we totally think Ouija boards will fuck up all of that shit. We've all heard that speech.
Sure.
Well, not in real life, necessarily.
No, yeah, I got it.
But in movies. The one that he does in this is so long and rambling, and it's from the sheriff, and it has all these weird threats that I'm like, I'm not sure the sheriff can do all of that. I feel like
he is an elected official, so.
Yeah, and he's got a gun. But I'm like, I feel like that you're writing checks that your authority can't. I don't. And of course, he has to be vague too. Well, and that's the thing. At that point, no Ouija board has shown up. He's just mad that people enjoyed a movie involving a Ouija board. And I'm like, I get you there, I guess. I mean, that's kind of a thing. Oh, yeah. It's so bad. I highly, highly recommend it. All right. That's all we got. Let's head it up.
Of course, as you know, Ouija is like a brand name.
Yes, from the Parker Brothers.
I know. The spirit boards are the more general term. Kind of like, you know, it's...
Yeah, but people facial freak out way more about Ouija ones.
Yeah, that's true.
Go read... Well, they hardly sell them anymore, but if you can find the game ones, like, on Amazon and shit, read the reviews. They're hilarious.
Really?
yeah, people are like, no, you guys, seriously, stop pretending this is a toy. You call it real demons. And if you're lucky, it has one where it's like, my cousin said he knew this kid. And, you know, you get that kind of shit.
Stu wants to know, have you ever considered emigrating? And if so, to where? I have not ever really considered, seriously considered emigrating. Not one time.
I don't know if I seriously have. I mean, I have fantasized about it, usually from, not from the perspective of I want to get out of this country, but from the perspective of I have a major crush on a different country for a while, and like, maybe I could do that. Because like, I've always been a huge Anglophile. I'm obsessed with the UK. I love it. I would love an excuse to live there. And when I found out, like, I worked for somebody, and I found out that one of the members of the family that owned the place had been living in Spain for 22 years, and she hadn't, like, gotten different citizenship or anything. She just lived there. And I was like, you can do that? And I'm like, yeah, if you got a visa. And I was like, dude! So I've had moments like that. You know, I look on Canada with envy sometimes. Mm. But, no, in general, like, you know, it's just a different brand of fucked up.
Somewhere else, yeah.
And even if it's a country that has their shit more together, odds are it's a country that gets less support from the international community. I mean, that's the thing. We're kind of assholes here. We're also the biggest assholes on the playground. So a lot of the luxury of our existence, even here in the middle of Iowa in completely non-political jobs, like, you don't necessarily have that other places. And you're just going to have different shit there. I have thought about emigrating to another planet several times. They're picking out some nice ones now. But, no, I mean, I play that game every once in a while. I'm like, if you could just live anywhere, where would you want to live? Because, okay, I've noticed this phenomenon, and it seems really simple, but I find it fascinating. America seems very normal to me, to the point that sometimes it seems kind of boring. Because everything here is normal. Go to, like, the UK. The UK has all this weird shit. They use different terms. They have different foodstuffs. They have different financial structures that I find fascinating. They have a whole other set of holidays, shit like this. You know, their immigrant population, very different demographically than ours. It's fascinating to me. But then I'm like, yeah, they feel that way about us. I mean, not necessarily good or bad or whatever, but, like, we're the interesting ones.
Yeah.
And that's going to be true anywhere. Mm-hmm. But just in my head, I'm like, no, it would be so much more interesting to live in such and such a place. But, I mean, I lived in the UK for 4 months, and things became normal. And I did miss things about the US and stuff like that. So, and, of course, also, as globalization becomes more of a thing, what am I going to the other countries for? Because, like, I can get it here, and they can get it there.
Yeah.
Like when John Oliver did a whole segment on the traffic zebras in Bolivia, and the entire nation of Bolivia freaked the fuck out.
Why?
Because they thought it was awesome that John Oliver was talking about them on his TV show.
Okay.
Because apparently they get HBO down there, or probably just YouTube. Yeah, so I don't know. Now, of course, the reason this comes up is because Mr. Stu there has emigrated here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so he wants to know if he was just crazy. But I hardly even think that counts, though, because he emigrated here for a woman. He fell in love online and then moved here to be with her. So, like,
so
I could see doing that. Yeah, absolutely.
I could too. I could see that very easily.
Yeah. But, conveniently, I found one that lives here.
Yep. Likewise.
In fact, she's the one who makes me stick in Iowa, or at least originally did. Now I like
her. However, I also can say, if my wife decided she wanted to live in some other country, and, you know, and it wasn't just a whim, it was like, well,
there's a compelling reason.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, of course.
I would definitely.
Yeah.
I don't have any reason to.
I will
not
definitely
go with her.
Not get separated or divorced in order to stay in this country. I can.
Well, I'm not even sure.
Mostly promise that.
I'm not even sure I've worked that hard to convince her otherwise. Well, I mean, I mean, one of the reasons I still live in Iowa is because my family's here. I don't want to move. I mean, I can't believe you live so far away from your family. That's just.
I live really close to hers.
That's true. That's true.
And that's weird. There's been discussion of people moving away and all that. I'm not sure it's really going to happen. But although, the youngest sister is looking in about a year or so maybe to move. And one of the places she's looking at is Iowa City, and we love that idea.
Yeah.
She lived here. That would be very
cool. You know what's weird is that there are places, like in Europe, and this is true in a lot of places in Africa too, where you can emigrate from, you know, one country to another, and the person, even if they're traveling the maximum distance, like the farthest point in this country to the farthest point in this country, mm-hmm. they're not any further away from where they started as you or I would be from, well, say, Oregon.
Yeah.
So it's like, I mean, you technically emigrated to Iowa.
Yeah.
I mean, for all intents and purposes.
I always find that fascinating. When I was in London and I took my trip to Wales, I went from London to the Welsh coast.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, lengthwise, obviously, it's bigger, but widthwise, that's as far as you can go. It was an 8-hour bus ride.
Yeah.
I was like, we really just went across the country to the degree that we're technically in some place that was a different country before? Yeah. Like, that was fast. And even, like, on the East Coast, I find that weird.
Yeah, that's like going from Denver to Des Moines, basically.
The time when I was going from New York to Boston, 4 hours. And I mean, I get it if I see the map, but in my head, I'm like, really? They're in different states. They're giant cities. How is that possible? And the stuff where, like, yeah, like New York City has how many times more the population of all of Montana?
Yeah.
And Montana could fit all of New England twice over in its boundaries or whatever. Yeah.
Sometimes it's really hard to really get an appreciation for how big certain parts of the United States are. But like Russia, can you imagine? I mean, that country's just, you look at it on the map and that has nothing. I mean, that tells you nothing about how long it takes to get from point A to point B.
You know, a big one for this actually, the producers talked about this because she has a lot of coworkers from, and so she's sort of over time, she's discovered this, India.
Oh yeah, very
like,
large.
Like India is one country, but it's very big, and it has more people than you can fucking imagine.
Yeah, lots.
So what this, like, you know everybody's thing about how, oh, you're from whatever city, you must know so-and-so, or whatever, and how dumb that is? So much worse. To the degree that, like, culturally speaking, people from northern India versus southern India, very different. Like, they generally speak the same language, but, like, the food and things, that was a big one. Like, what we think of as Indian food here is really a small chunk. Same thing with Italy, but it's really a big thing here. And, like, they have cultural assumptions and prejudices about people from other parts of the country, like we do.
Yeah.
Because it's huge, and there's so many of them. And so, yeah, the producer's just been finding out, like, all these interesting things about, like, specific cities in India and different regions and stuff. And we just all sort of assume uniform. As opposed to the UK, where they really are all uniform. They just have different accents and make fun of each other. That's not true. There's a rigid and elaborate class structure also in place. Watching these older seasons of Last of the Summer Wine is fascinating.
Mm.
Because it's the UK, and it's the 70s.
Yeah.
So there's just a lot of weird stuff. The overt issues involving class in British sitcoms are so much bigger than anything I've seen in American sitcoms. Mm. It's always fascinating to me. Like, Last of the Summer Wine is literally about three old dudes hanging out together all day. And a reoccurring thing, such that it shows up at least once in every episode, is that the snooty middle-class guy gets annoyed that the down-on-his-luck, never-really-had-a-job guy calls him by his first name.
Instead of Mr. Such-and-Such.
Yes! just whenever he's sort of peeved, that's what he gets mad about. And it's not like he calls him that or anybody. Like, nobody does that in this, but he feels he should because they're from different classes. And so much of it, yeah, is talk about how lazy and shiftless the poor are and how snooty and closed-minded the middle class and the rich are and the aristocracy. It's weird as fuck. Also very weird, the old, poor, crazy, somewhat toothless guy flirts with the guys sometimes, sort of.
Mm.
It's obviously joking, but it just keeps coming up, where he talks about how, like, he'll make some comment about his pretty eyes, or, okay, you can kiss me, but just once, and things like that, or sweep me off. He makes jokes like that, and nobody else really does, and I find that interesting, and kind of refreshing, because he's having fun with it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's very weird. There's a lot of sensibilities from the 70s that are very different. There's some jokes I'm like, yeah, you could not get away with that joke. Oh my god, which reminds me. This afternoon, listening in the car to Comedy Central Radio, and they do a John Mulaney bit. And the John Mulaney bit is about writing for a show and making a joke involving the word midget and getting in trouble for that. And some parts of the bit were not funny, but the initial part was very funny. And he says, this guy says, you can't say midget on TV. And I said to him, I'd really like to. And he says, you can't. It's very offensive.
I'd really like to.
Yeah, that was his response. Like, I'd really kind of like to. He's like, that the word midget is very offensive. It's as bad as saying the N-word. And I was like, no, it is not. You know how I know? Because we're actually saying midget in this conversation.
Right.
And we're not saying the word that N-word is. If you're having a conversation about which between two words and which is worse, the one that you can't say in that conversation, always worse.
Yeah, clearly worse.
Sorry, that was a bit of a...
Do you want to draw another question?
No, I've mostly been killing time so we don't have to.
Okay.
No, it's about too late now.
All right.
Ugh, I'm tired. It's been a tiring week. I haven't even made it to the gym once this week, and I've barely written. Mm. I've written like 4 paragraphs. I remember I told you I had that breakthrough on the plot?
Mm-hmm.
I got that. I'm still not picturing. It's in a new setting.
Mm-hmm.
And I still can't picture this new setting.
Mm.
That's complicated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is weird, because I got to start thinking like it's the first draft again. Because I didn't have that problem so much in the first draft, because I just wrote, and I was like, oh, we'll say it looks like this.
Yeah.
Or it's like this.
Right.
But now I'm like, this is the version I'm going to have you guys see. So right. I should be, because frequently with those ones, I was like, oh, that's fine. Or I was like, no, that sounds weird. Let's change it. So now I'm like trying to come up with something that's already kind of polished.
Mm.
I think that's
hurt me. Yeah.
I should just write it like a first draft, and then you guys can tear it apart later. So there you go, Stu. That's your news. Nobody else emigrates. It's just you. And we're all kind of embarrassed for you. Oh, my God. I was asking him something that he should know. And he didn't, because he wasn't raised here. And I was like, God damn it. And so I turn around to the rest of the team. I was like, is there a real American here? I need a real one. And sure enough, one of the others got it. I still use him as my British authority.
Oh, okay, well.
Supposedly, okay, this part is not supposedly. In 1992, there was a program on BBC, I think, on British television, called Ghost Watch. And it had legitimately respected people on it, including Michael Parkinson, the sort of famous interviewer and talk show host. And they were doing an investigation of supposedly a very haunted place. And they did it in such a way that it appeared to show real evidence of ghosts, and the whole thing was, like, fake. It was very much a War of the Worlds thing.
Hmm.
Except, apparently, unlike with War of the Worlds, where people didn't really freak out as much as we all like to think, and people have exaggerated over the years, apparently people really freaked the fuck out over this one. And for some reason, Shudder, one of the horror movie streaming services, has it on there now. And I'm really curious, and I was trying to ask him, but Stu didn't remember. And I'm torn, because I'm like, you know I love those ghost hunting fictional things, mm-hmm. where ghost hunters go in and then they get eaten and whatever. But as much as I love those, I hate real ghost hunting shows where they just wander around and like, bro, did you touch my hand? Bro, what'd you say? And find nothing and just speculate and annoy the shit out of me. I hate those. And this is clearly somewhere in between.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm like, on which side? Am I going to love it? Am I going to hate it? Yeah. Who knows? Because like that one, I told you about the WNUF Halloween special or whatever that was done like an 80s news program. I loved that one.
Mm.
So, I'm not sure. But anyway, if you'd like to know more, visit your local library. Also, go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com, and tell us what we should have talked about instead of what we talked about.
Yep.
Also, see the movie Ouija Resurrection. And like us on Facebook, please. Someone. Anyone? Bueller. And then write into the hat. We need more stuff for the hat. I know it seems like we don't because we don't draw much, but you guys don't write very much at all. If we were pulling a lot of them out of here, we would have been out of business in 6 months. So write that, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. One question. Good enough. Whatever, you know? Just do something. Help out in your community of the five people that listen to this podcast.
Right.
And don't worry if you didn't hear it because she only moves the mouth.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.